It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is Daniel Jones, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to another episode of Top 10 Thoughts from Week 2 in the NFL. I'm Cody Carpentier, joined on Monday with you to talk about the things that came from the weekend. Again, we have 2 more Monday Night Football games tonight. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, you've already watched those games. Tampa Bay at Houston, Mike Evans' third homecoming back to the Galveston area, and then the Chargers and the Raiders. Late night, 10 p.m. Eastern kick. Should be a good one. Get to see a little more Ashton Jeanty, a little more Amarian Hampton for your rookie likings. But today, I do want to start out with rookies. And it's Quinshon Judkins. It's R.J. Harvey. 2 backs that have gotten workload, but maybe not quite the workload that we've expected through the first 2 weeks if you would have asked us or thought about this a month ago. Obviously, Quinshon Judkins touched the field for the first time this year, this week. You can watch every rush attempt that he had up on the Roster Watch YouTube channel, cut that thing up, posted it over there earlier today. With Quinshon's entrance into the lineup, he's had 25% of the snaps, almost half of the rush attempts in the backfield, which is a big, big, big like siren going off in the background. 25% snaps and half the rush attempts on the team in a game that they got blown out in by a divisional foe. Ran 16% of the routes, had a 7% target share for Quinshon in his debut, scored 10 fantasy points, 10.1 PPR fantasy points. That's big. That's a big entrance into this backfield. Again, Jerome Ford still had 50% of the snaps, only 27% of the rush attempts. He did run 49% of the routes. We did see Dylan Sampson's utilization overall come down from 45% to 25%. His rush attempts go from 52 to 19, and his routes go from 31 to 20. And then obviously that target share came down, but he still, with the touchdown, had 10.9 fantasy PPR points. So back-to-back double-digit games for Dylan Sampson. I think Judkins is pretty good. So you can go watch for it yourself. He took 10 carries at 61 yards. The comp for Quinshon Judkins in the NFL, I watched it back when I was watching this morning, the All-22, I was like, man, who is this? And I'm thinking about it. And then I went and looked it up, and I looked up the Darius Geis, Washington Redskins at the time games. And Quinshon Judkins to me is Darius Geis. And Darius Geis only lasted for 6 weeks in the league, only had like 245 career rushing yards. We hope that's obviously not what happens here with Quinshon. But again, there was off-field stuff with Geis. There's obviously off-field stuff with Judkins that has been surpassed now. and they looked the same on the turf. And I loved me some Darius. I the sickest at the sickest on Twitter. I love me some Darius Geis. But the thing is, with both Judkins and Harvey, they both seem like they're just pulling the plow in the open field. Like they get into the open field and they go to bust one, and they don't got the second gear. They can't even get out of first. They let alone get into third. They can't even get like to second. They get stuck and it's grinding gears to get the second gear, and they don't get there, and then they get tackled. Harvey and Quinshon through the first 2 weeks. Obviously, Quinshon just one game, Harvey week one and two. Number one and number two in yards after contact per attempt by a wide margin. So Harvey 6.09 yards after attempt, yards after contact per attempt. Quinshon's 5.7. And then the third place goes down to 4.66, almost a yard less for Derrick Henry. Obviously, always going to be good in this stat. And then Travis Etienne at 4.20, another half yard down from there. It's positive. The problem is neither of these guys really have that. It's just weird because Harvey ran a 4.4. So it's weird that both of these guys kind of look like they're pulling plow. We saw that last week with Harvey's 60-yard rush. But Harvey, again, looked good this week. Dobbins has juice. Dobbins continues to have the juice that he had last year that we saw out in Los Angeles. The backfield split there, J.K. Dobbins, 52% snaps, 46% this week, dropped down 6%. And then for Harvey, it stayed 31% each week. We did see Tyler Beatty get a little uptick. He had a beautiful run. I think it was a run or a catch to the right sideline up. I think he gained like 18 or 25 yards, something along those lines. Beatty looked good. Harvey had the same snap share, though, the same rush attempt share, same amount of routes run. It was all 23% of the attempts, 34% of the routes. Target share was similar. He scored 3.4 fantasy points this week instead of 7.9 last week because he didn't break away a long run. Dobbins doubled down with another 15-point fantasy point scoring attempt. Harvey just needs more snaps. I'm not sure he's going to get there. Beatty's really being a nuisance to him getting to that 45-50% conversation. Judkins, though, is the player right now. Judkins is going to get this backfield next week. I expect that Judkins' workload to jump up and completely neuter, not completely neuter, but neuter away, 15% away from Ford, maybe another 5 or 6% away from Sampson. And we're going to end up with a Quinshon Judkins that is a dog. Speaking of rookies, Cam Scataboo outsnapped Tyrone Tracy in the second half against the Cowboys, which obviously that game was immaculate in the second half. And Scataboo, this is one I was just like, I would tease Alex about Scataboo. I'm not the biggest Scataboo guy, but Scataboo looks miles better than Tyrone Tracy. And so this game ended up, Tyrone Tracy drops from a great 73% snap share in week one, 60% of the rush attempts, 67% of the routes, 11% target share, only scored 5.5 fantasy points. We talked about this. We talked about this a week ago on the Top 10 Thoughts show. We talked about this backfield and how it looked and what could potentially come. And I said, I'm cool with bending the knee to the Charbonnet, or not the Charbonnet thing, to this Cam Scataboo thing. And I'm bending the knee completely. I did it last week. 73% down to 42% for Tracy Scataboo. 11% of snaps up to 51% of snaps for Cameron Scataboo, who is averaging 2.77 yards after contact per attempt, which puts him right in the category, just underneath three, which three is a great threshold to kind of like look at these running backs. That's the Alvin Kamaras of the world, the Ken Walkers, Javonta Dobbins, Achane's at 3.5, James Cook is at 3.53, Bijan's at 3.56. Like, this is the area you want to be in, and this guy's doing the damn thing. He's got three missed tackles forced in the first two games of the year. And elusive rating. I wrote this note down because of the elusive stuff. I'll talk about this later, but Scattered was fourth in the PFF elusive rating through the first 2 weeks. Scataboo is going to continue to – he might take this job over next week, which is bizarre. But if you go back, and I'll pull it up right now, I'll go back, 2024, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ready for it? 2024, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, week one, Rashad White, 69%. Week two, 70%. Week three, 73%. Bucky Irving, week one, 33%, 36%, 42%, 41%, 43%. It wasn't until week six that Bucky Irving broke through and got a 64% snap share. His first 10-point fantasy point game came in week 3, 4. He didn't have a 20-pointer until week 12. Scattab, who's ahead of the Bucky Irving curve already from a snaps perspective. Now, that offensive line is not playing great in New York, but if they can, if that offense can play like it, well, again, I don't know. They played the Cowboys defense. So we'll see what happens in week 3. But Cam Scattaboo is, I mean, I know he's owned everywhere, but he gets the Chiefs in week 3, Sunday Night Football. If you're trying to trade for somebody, Cam Scattaboo is about to potentially get all the eyes in the world, all 20 million on him on Sunday Night Football. And he's going to be the best back on the field because Kansas City doesn't have shit right now in the backfield. Number 3. I imagine this is going to be the Travis Hunter role all year. He saw a mild change in just overall snaps. Offensively, dropped from 74% down to 58%. Defensively, from 4 snaps in week 1 to 39 snaps in week 2. Again, a lot of that came. So I went back and watched the All 22 for Jacksonville against Cincinnati, and he wasn't just lined up on Chase or on T. Higgins, which is what I kind of thought. I thought it would be Tyson Campbell and Hunter. And, you know, bing, bang, bing, bing. He was actually lined up on tight ends. He was matched up on Mitchell Tinsley. He was matched up on running backs. Like, he was matched up on everybody across the field. Gave up 2 targets, 1 reception, 16 yards. Hunter looked great. Here's the thing. Any given week, it's going to be kind of, I would bet, dependent on who you're playing. They played Carolina week 1. It's Teddarrell McMillan. That's it. Really, that's the only guy you're worried about. You play Cincinnati, you're worried about Higgins. You're worried about Chase. Sure. You play Houston Texans. Who are you worried about? Nico. So, okay, so he's probably going to play more offense next week, right? San Francisco, McCaffrey, if Kittle's healthy, Pearsall, Jennings, I think you're going to see more Hunter on defense. Kansas City, Kelsey, Hollywood. I think you're going to get to a point where he's probably going to play there. Cup, JSN against Seattle, probably plays a little more defense there. Rams, Adams, Puka, more defense there. Comes out of the bye week in week 9. Vegas, Bowers, Myers. I don't know. You get my point. This is where I'm going with this. It's probably going to be week-to-week dependent, and it's going to be an easier call whether you should play him in fantasy or not, because when you play him, it should be a game where you know he's going to get that 75 to 80% snaps on offense and only a couple snaps on defense, and then the weeks he plays more defense, you're not going to play him as much in fantasy football. It happens, but that was what came with drafting Travis Hunter, but at least now we're seeing the fruits of the labor. The Joe Burrow thing, number 4, is depressing. I mean, this is unfortunate, man. This guy, again, Joe Burrow goes down with a turf toe. It sounds like he's going to be out for 3 months. He's going to have a surgery on it. And, I mean, there hasn't been a quarterback that you can really – like, 2-time comeback player of the year. If he doesn't play again, so 3 months is – October 15th, November 15th, December 15th. He's basically missing the rest of the season. If he comes back early, maybe he comes back early December, like he gets back the last 4. I don't know. But that's if surgery goes well. You know how surgery is in modern – I get it, right? Modern medicine should allow surgery to potentially have him come back earlier. But, again, so it reminds you eerily of Andrew Luck. And he's played like 15 fewer games than Andrew Luck or something like this. And they're just so in line. And this offensive line has just – even if they're not getting him killed, they're getting him stepped on. And it's unfortunate. And it's kind of depressing because he's one – you know, he had the possibility to be, the potential to be like Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Burrow. Like that was how that was going. And that's what that looked like. For being like the greats, right? I still think he can do it, but it's just unfortunate. All these injuries stacking up. It's like you can't really stack and get on a roll for, you know, 4 or 5 years of, you know, competing for championships and stuff like this. So fantasy-wise, in 7 games in 2023 with Browning at quarterback, Ja'Marr Chase averaged 4.8 catches, 64 yards, just under 10 PPR points in – or sorry, 10 points in half PPR. Higgins was 3 for 65, 11.7 half PPR points. This came from – gosh, I had the Twitter account. I want to give credit. I think it was Jacob Gibbs. I think it was Jacob Gibbs that had this. And then Joe Mixon was 18 touches, 88 yards, 16.6 points per game in half PPR. So – if you go by that math, again, the team's a little bit different. They have Amarius Mims. They have, you know, Brown at left tackle. Like, it's a little bit different offensively. Talent is still there with Chase and Higgins, though. It should benefit Brown the most, Chase Brown the most, who we've seen have, you know, a good start to the year. Not as elite as we maybe expected out of Chase Brown to begin the year at 16 for 47 this last week, only two catches for 18 yards in week two against Jacksonville in a game where, again, it scored. It was ended up 31-27, but I expected more points. I expected more fantasy points, I should say, in that conversation. So I do expect a little bit of an uptick in overall output from the Chase Brown perspective. He did in week one have 21 carries, 43 yards, one touchdown, and then added two catches. So should benefit him with Browning at quarterback. But as far as Chase and Higgins go, you're looking right around that, you know, depending on touchdowns, it's like, you know, 10 to 14 for Chase and 8 to 13 PPR points for T. Higgins in any. It's unfortunate. It's definitely a dip down from where they were with Burrow. No way to make it nice and cuddly.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ken Walker versus Zach Charbonnet. Everyone's running out to this Ken Walker thing because Ken Walker had a good week. I get it. Don't get me wrong. Listen, I'm going to preface this right now with what I'm about to say. I've always loved Ken Walker. I've always been against Zach Charbonnet as pure prospects and talents at the running back position. I've been way more in on Ken Walker than Charbonnet as a running back talent. Charbonnet stayed healthier. Ken Walker can't stay healthy. Ken Walker, 13 carries, 105 yards, and a touchdown, and I see all the victory laps on Twitter now. Peel back the curtain. Week one, carries, Charbonnet, 12 to 10. Week two, carries, Charbonnet, 15 to 13. Week one, snaps, Charbonnet, 29 to 20. Week two, snaps, Charbonnet, 36 to 23. Walker, 20 pass snaps, 3 pass blocking snaps, 16 routes run. Charbonnet, 37 pass snaps. This is not week. This is not on the weeks. This is total on the season. 37 pass snaps, 11 pass blocking, 27 routes run. They believe more in Charbonnet as a pass blocker and a route runner than Ken Walker, which is fine. They've targeted Ken Walker more. And last week in week one, it was every other drive. It was Ken Walker, Charbonnet, Ken Walker, Charbonnet, Ken Walker, Charbonnet. And like we talked about last week, it was just the fact that those drives were more successful with Charbonnet in week one. In week two, those drives were more successful with Ken Walker. Ken Walker, you know, blitzed off a couple of big runs. He looks great. Don't get me wrong. Ken Walker looks great. But to run out and say, this is Ken Walker's going to get a more of a workload. Ken Walker's going to do this. Ken Walker's going to do that. They're going to keep – no. I mean, you, again, I'm all for being Bayesian, but the Bayesian process here is we saw more snaps go to Charbonnet this week than we did Ken Walker, and we saw an uptick from week one for Charbonnet, even though Charbonnet was 15 carries for 10 yards and didn't even average one freaking yard per carry. I understand it's not great, but what Seattle's telling us is that they're not going to go 80-20, 70-30. This thing's going to be a split backfield. Charbonnet started more drives this week than Ken Walker did. Does that mean Charbonnet's a starter? I don't know. Ken Walker started the game. Charbonnet played more snaps. Charbonnet started more drives. We're not going to get this from Ken Walker every single week. We're just not. So relax. However, Caleb Johnson, who again, I've not a big fan of from a prospect perspective, but I loved the Pittsburgh situation. Takeaway number six, Caleb Johnson is droppable. He looks like, you know, remember rookie year Derrick Henry, and I know this Arthur Smith connection is going to make, you know, whatever. They were trying to run him out of the shotgun, running Adrian Peterson out of the shotgun. It's like malpractice. You just don't know how to use what you got for some reason. They're running Caleb Johnson out of the shotgun. He gains a yard, and they take him out. I'll take the L for now on Caleb Johnson because I haven't missed – I've went to Steelers training camp for 4 years in a row. I missed it this year for the first time in 4 years. Each of the last 4 years, I was able to tell you the media is wrong. It's not Jalen Warren. It's Najee Harris. They're trying to the media has tried to spin this Jalen Warren thing for 3 years in Pittsburgh, and it was never right. It was always Najee Harris. And so this year, I wasn't able to get up there. I had the intentions to, and I didn't able to get up there. And obviously Caleb Johnson's not Najee Harris. We thought he could have been. From a prospect perspective, he looked like he'd be good enough to be. We saw enough reports. We saw enough in preseason that would tell us he could be, but we didn't go to training camp. That's how important training camp tour is to Roster Watch Nation. That's why we appreciate you guys for allowing us to do that and to get there. He's droppable right now. In 6 weeks, I think they're going to need him, but he's droppable right now. Number seven, Justin Fields was a mirage in week one. We asked the question a week ago. The biggest question in week two is the Justin Fields week one performance against Pittsburgh a mirage? It was. He started out the game 3-for-11 for 27 yards passing, a complete flip of what he looked like in week one from a consistent perspective, throwing the ball. Buffalo got up 20-0 in this game in the first half. Again, the target share was completely boom, right into Garrett Wilson. He had 8 targets on the team's 22 pass attempts again this weekend. So that's right around that 40% threshold that we talked about. Fields had 49 yards on the ground. Fields got hurt. Tyrod Taylor came in to finish. He was 7-for-11 with a touchdown pass. It was a mirage. Daniel Jones, on the other hand, it was not. Daniel Jones has 588 yards on the season. 5 touchdowns accredited for. No interceptions. No punts. And they were the only team, this is the first time in NFL history that a team has begun the season 10-for-10 on drives. They scored on all 10 of their first 10 drives of the season, the Colts have. Wow. Wow. This Daniel Jones thing is real, and Tyler Warren is a dude. Tyler Warren is a dude. Mighty impressive. The guy. The guy. And it's not even close right now in Indianapolis. The guy. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor's having a career year. But the guy from a output perspective is Tyler Warren. And he's playing tight end. Big fan. Tyler Warren. Tight end 2. People are going to make the argument to put him ahead of Trey McBride. I've already had the question asked. Number 8, James Cook is going to compete for running back overall 1 this season. He has 11 career games with 18-plus touches. 2 of them have come this year already. Running back leaders in fantasy points per game over the last 365 days is according to Jacob Gibbs of PFF. Jahmyr Gibbs, number 1, 21.1. Saquon, 21.0. Bijan, 20.54. Cook is at 17.0. But PPR fantasy points per touch in those in that time frame, Jahmyr Gibbs first, 1.18 PPR points per touch. James Cook, number 2, 1.11 PPR points per touch. Devon Achane's number 3, 1.10 PPR points per touch. We weren't sure this James Cook. You know, I think one of the last things I said on the Start Sit show on Sunday was James Cook could potentially do this thing and be a running back 1. In fantasy football. Last week he had 13 carries, 44 yards, a rushing touchdown, 5 targets, 5 receptions. This week, 21 carries, 132 yards on the ground, 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 target, 1 reception for 3 yards. He's on pace. He's on elite pace again from the touchdown perspective. He had 16 touchdowns last year. He's got 19 the last 2 seasons. He's on elite pace once again, obviously through 2 games. Is James Cook. So real, we should have bumped him up in the pre-draft conversations during fantasy football drafts this year. Takeaway number 9. Remember when the Bears defense was going to be good? Because I did. I remember when they traded for Montez Sweat from the Commanders, and Jalen Johnson came back this week and played. They drafted Gervon Dexter in the second round from Florida. They went and signed Grady Jarrett this offseason from Atlanta. They drafted Shamar Turner in the second round this year. He's not playing right now. Kyler Gordon has been a stud nickelback, not playing great. They go pay Kevin Byard. They draft Jaquan Brisker. Tremaine Edmonds they paid. TJ Edwards they paid from Philly. Like, they went out. This defense was supposed to be good. This defense is giving up 39.5 points per game in the NFL right now, leading. Miami, who's got given up 33. Miami can't stop anybody. They're giving up 33. Bears have the worst defense in the league, especially the last six quarters. Bewildering, but not shocking. Chicago, Miami, New York, the bottom three. Pittsburgh giving up 31.5 points per game through the first two games of the year. Takeaway number 10, Devon Achane and Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson's got 15 missed tackles forced this year already, who's just miles ahead of the league. Their elusive ratings are out of the world at the moment. So the elusive rating on PFF for these running backs is 169 for Achane and 149 for Bijan. Trey Benson's at 116.5. He's been getting more and more touches this year. And then Scadab, who's at 97.7. We talked about that before. Benson thing is interesting because when you look at that backfield right now in Arizona, I don't know. James Conner, 64% snaps in week one, 52% snaps in week two. Now, again, week two got out of hand, and they were up on Carolina quite early with opportunity to give Benson some touches. 48% of the snaps in week two for Benson, up 14%, a 23% target share, back-to-back 8-point fantasy points games. James Conner just does not look like the elite fantasy value that we thought he might be again, which he's been the last 2 years. 14.4, 12.2 fantasy points per game. Still not a running back two performance. He finished as running back 33 and running back 45 so far on the year. Let's go back to last year. I'll pull up the – I love using Fantasy Life's game logs. Let's go back to last year and see if Trey Benson had anything that would – let's see here. Where's Trey Benson at? 13, 35, 4%. Never got back above 35%. 35% was his highest snap share in week two last year. After that, it didn't happen again until week nine when he saw 26%, 25%. Everything else all year was below 20%. This year already, in the first 2 weeks of the season, we're seeing Trey Benson with 34% and 48%. A clear push to get Trey Benson the football, Trey Benson in the game. 35% of the rush attempts last week, 17% of the rush attempts this week. Some notable fantasy flops again. A.J. Brown had 1.3 fantasy points in week one, 7.7 in week two. He was targeted about 2.6 million times. 2.6 million, I think, was the number coming out of that Philly game. He was targeted 8 times on 22 pass attempts by Jalen Hurts, which is the exact same number that Garrett Wilson got on the New York Jets side of the conversation. Derrick Henry drops the ball with a 2.3 burger this week. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt gets completely cucked in the Washington situation. Austin Eckler goes down with an Achilles. Prayers to Austin Eckler. I hope he makes it back and can play his career. I hope he doesn't have to retire. Very unfortunate to always see injuries or Achilles or anything. Kroski-Merritt, though, looks like he'll step into a bigger role. Isaiah Pacheco, another flame out in this one. 3.9 fantasy points in week two. Matthew Golden with another nothing burger. He had an opportunity for two balls that should have been two catches, 123 yards, and two touchdowns. Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love's going to be the one thing that holds these Packers back from winning a Super Bowl. I know the Packer, you know, fandom of like, you know, we had, you know, Favre won a Super Bowl, Rodgers won a Super Bowl, Love can do it. Favre did it at 27, Rodgers did it at 27, Love's 27 years old right now. Each of those guys, Favre had Reggie White, Rodgers had Woodson, Love's got Parsons. Like, I get it. I hear all of it. Love is going to be what holds this team back from winning the Super Bowl. His inconsistencies drive me nuts. And I love Jordan Love coming out as a projection quarterback. But he could have given Matthew Golden two for 123 and two on Thursday night. And just the connection just not there. It's like, I don't know. I hope this isn't going to be a Keon Coleman type situation all year. Mark Andrews with 1.4 points in week two. Again, he had a touchdown in his hands, 1, 2, 3 steps down in the end zone. Ball was punched out. I feel like we've seen that be called a touchdown before because he caught the ball, took 3 steps, then it was punched out. The play's over with, but they called it dead. Running back snap shares of note here. Tony Pollard, back-to-back 89% snap share games for the Tennessee Titans. Achan, 88% week one, 93% in week two. Kamara jumps up from 79% to 86%. Christian McCaffrey doubles down on his 76% snap share. Chase Brown, right, that 75 to 71% conversation for snaps. And Javonte Williams almost had his first 100-yard game since December 2021. It would have been his third of his career. He had 2 that year, one against the Cowboys, one against the Chiefs. He was a couple yards away. But I tell you what, a 100-yard game will be in tow for Javonte Williams this season. 18 carries, 97, and a touchdown. Javonte's got the juice. He caught 6 of 7 targets out of the backfield. This is his backfield. Miles Sanders does not look good. I mean, he looks fine, not good. And Jaden Blue's inactive. This is Javonte's world, and we're all just living in it. We'll be live tomorrow with the Waiver Wire Show. Tap in, locked into everything Roster Watch Nation. We appreciate you. We love you. Go to rosterwatch.com. Get the Waiver Wire cheat sheet. It'll drop on Tuesday with the Waiver Wire Show with the Trash Man and Alex Dunlap. You can get the Trash Man's Fantasy Follow on rosterwatch.com today. You can get everything all week from Roster Watch Nation. We are a nation at Roster Watch. Get everything over there right now. Appreciate you. Love you. And we'll see you tomorrow.